So just to recap the din of the Mishnah. Mishnah told us the halacha of the sikrikon. There's a din sikrikon. But the din sikrikon had different forms, and there's also times the din sikrikon doesn't apply. So just recap what we have. The halacha of the Mishnah is that during certain times of the Melchama, when basically Jewish lives were hefker, Rachmana Litzlan, so there was no din sikrikon, and that means that whoever buys it from the sikrikon owns it 100%. The reason for that being that the original owner of the field, since he was sparing his life by letting the sikrikon take his field, he totally resolved to give over his field. And he's like, okay with that. He really wanted to give it over because he was giving it over to save his life. So he meant to transfer it to the sikrikon. Therefore, the person who buys from the sikrikon totally owns it. Then there was the din of the sikrikon. The din of the sikrikon in its original form was that the original owner never gave up ownership. And he wants it back. And therefore, somebody buys from Sikriko and it's totally batel, and he has to give it back to the original owner. When the original owner comes to get it, he has to give it back. Even if he bought it from the, or even if he can, I call it bullet, but even if he got consent, what the Mishnah calls lokach, buying from the original owner after bought from Sikriko, and that still doesn't count because the original owner only gave the consent in order to pacify the Sikriko. He didn't really mean to give it up. So that's the original form within the Sikriko was. That whoever buys him sikrikon, it's batel, and he has to give it back to the original owner. And Rashi says that he loses all his money. Okay. Then later on, they decided that that's not the case. And we spoke out from the other Rishonim that the Chazal didn't want to keep it like that because people didn't want to buy him sikrikon. And it ended up being that the goyim would just hold on to the land and take the Jewish land and it would never get back to Jewish hands. So in order to facilitate that the Jews would get the land back, the halacha was that if you buy from sikrikon, you can keep it. You just have to pay the, which we'll talk about today, the amount that you saved. You got a lower price by buying the sikrikon. So that difference between the price that you paid and the original price, that you paid to the original owner. But if the owner is able to buy it back, you have to let him do it first. Or even according to some, if you bought it, you have to let the owner buy it back from you. That was the second stage of this din of sikrikon. And then the third stage, which the Mishnah adds on at the end, that Rebbe says that the Bezdin was Nimru v'Gamru, Rebbe himself was Hoshe Bezdin v'Nimru, and they decided that after 12 months, the Bailam doesn't have the right to get it back anymore, and whoever buys it, if it's been by the Sikrikon for 12 months, whoever buys it, he owns it, and he pays the Revia to the original Bailam. Okay, so far what we have in the Mishnah is four different cases, right? The Din where Sikrikon doesn't apply at all, and whoever buys it from the Sikrikon totally owns it. The original raw form of the sikrikon, where the person who buys the sikrikon loses it completely. Then there's the where the takana, where the bezdin got involved. The bezdin, we'll call the bezdin shel achrei. What?
Loses it completely.
The person who bought from the sikrikon.
Why does he lose it?
That was the original din of the sikrikon. As it goes back to the owner, you lose it. The bezdin that was what we'll call it the Mishnah Rishonos. We'll see again today. The bezdin shel achrei decided that no. We're not going to make you lose it completely. So either you pay the guy a revia, or you have to let him buy it back. Let the first dibs go to the owner. And then the last form of the last tweak to it was what Rebbe said, was that after 12 months you get it completely, you just pay the difference in value, the amount that you saved from buying from Sikrikon at a discounted price, that the amount that you saved, you pay back the original owner. Okay, so we'll still talk about if you bought a $100 field for $75, you'll have to pay the $25 to the original.
That's different. Okay. From the third stage.
Yeah, because the third stage is you have to let him buy it first. The last stage is that it's at 12 months. That's it. You're done. You have it and you get it, and the original owner only gets his that little compensation. Okay. So with that in mind, let's go to the Gemara. Zok to Gemara. Lakach min ha-sikrikon. So again, the din of the sikrikon is like we said that the Mishnah says the original din is that it's batel. Even if. Right, the original form, the Mishnah Rishon of the Sikrikon, is the person who buys the Sikrikon, his deal, his sale is batel. Even if after buying the Sikrikon, he went and he got permission, consent from the original owner, it's still batel. Why? Because we say that the original owner didn't really want to give it over. He was afraid of the Sikrikon. Or Rashi says, Nalam Shad of the Mishnah, he'd rather deal with this guy than with the Sikrikon, but didn't really resolve to give it over to this person. So the Gemara says, Amrav lo shon el do amar lo le chazeku kni. The only time we say that the original owner, when he gives consent, he didn't really mean it, that's when he says the regular lashon of, you go ahead, you make a kinyan and be kinyan. That's the normal lashon. We tell somebody to be kinyan and feel, lei chazeku kni. Aval b'shtar, but if he actually took the effort, made the effort to write a shtar to him, So then he's serious. So Rashi says at that point, Kulei Hai Lo, he didn't have to do that. The original owner, if you just want to pacify the Sikrikun, he would just said, okay, go ahead and do it. You didn't have to go through the trouble of writing out a shtar. So it must mean you're serious. So at that point, the Din Sikrikun does not apply, and the person who buys from the Sikrikun now is the rightful owner. Shmuel says, no, that's not enough. The fact that the original owner wrote a shtar, that's not enough for him to relinquish rights. He has to write achrayas nechasim in the shtar. That's right, I'm selling it to you. I'm giving it over to you. And you have a chrayas that if any of my creditors come and take it, I'm going to replace it. Tanik vasa Shmuel, we have a brayso that supports Shmuel. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he mer lokach min ha'isha. Somebody who buys from an isha, because remember, the same dinim applied to an isha, right? When you're buying something from a husband, and that field was either earmarked or was responsible to pay for the woman's ksuba, even if you buy it from the woman afterwards, you get her consent, it doesn't go through because she was only doing it in order to not to get her husband upset. So in that case, so if you buy from the Isha first, like we said in the Mishnah, you buy from the Isha first, or you buy from the original owner of the field first, that's okay. That for sure works. What about the flip side? That's Lahedya. The only way for the sale to go through is not, it's not enough for the Isha to write a shtar. She has to write a shtar with a chrayis, mamish lehedya, like Shmuel. So the Gemara is matcha the rai. No, neymat evitu. So the Gemara said, let's bring a kasha to Rav. Neymat evitu to Rav. It's the kasha on Rav, the rai to Shmuel. Amlecha Rav. Rav can answer. The Gemara is matcha that Rav can answer. My achrayus nami shtar. What does achrayus mean? It means the shtar. The Pasha way of reading the Brayso, so the Gemara thought originally, was that what does achrayus mean? That you wrote a shtar with achrayus inside the shtar. You wrote him a shtar, and in the shtar you wrote, I'm giving you achrayus nechasim, and if the field is taken away from you, I'm going to replace it. Now the Gemara is saying, no, what does achrayus mean? Achrayus means the shtar itself. Not that the shtar also had the din of achrayus nechasim inside of it. Stam. Achrayus means that there's a shtar. Why is that called achrayus? So Rashi says, because that's achrayus, because basically I'm telling you, go ahead. I'm telling you to take the field and I can't rescind it anymore. That's achrayus she'en yocholach. The fact that I cannot retract, that itself is the achrayus. So not the normal way we talk about achrayus, which is achrayus nechasim, that you're going to replace the field if something happens, but rather that you are sealing the deal and not allowing yourself to retract. Okay, so we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, no clear achra. Tana rabbanan lagach ben hasikrikon va'achla shaloshan v'fnei bailim. Someone buys from the hasikrikon. Okay, and then this person who bought it, he had the field for 3 years. V'chazu machol la'acher, and then he sells it to another guy. Okay, so we have the original owner of the field. Then you have the Sikrikon. Sikrikon then sells the field to Reuven. Reuven has the field for 3 years, and Reuven sells it to Shimon. That's our case. So the halacha is, after Reuven sells it to Shimon, Ein lebailim alokeach sheni klum. The original owner can't now come to Shimon and say, I want my field back. That's the din of the brisa. So it says the Gemara now tries to figure out what exactly is the case. Hechidami, ida katoyin v'omar minoch zavno. If Shimon is tining to the original owner comes and says, Shimon, I want my field back. So if Shimon makes a claim to him and says, listen, from you it was bought. Reuven, who sold me the field, he bought it from you. Now what does it mean he bought it from you? It means, as Rashi explains over here, like the din of the Mishnah, which is that the person who buys from Sikrikon in the later stage, in the Mishnah Achrona, in the Bezna Shachrayim, what's the halacha? You have to pay the amount that you saved by buying from the Sikrikon at a discounted price, that you have to pay to the original owner. So we're going on that case. And the Gemara is like this. So if Shimon is tiny, listen, Reuven, you sold it to me, he paid you that $25. You saved, right? He saved $25 on the sale because he bought it at a discounted price from Sikrikon. He paid you the $25. So if he's making that time, no, either got toy and Amr Minach Zav, no, that the guy who sold it to me, Reuven, bought it from you, Afilo Rishonami. So the Gemara says, so why does the Brice have to talk about a second buyer? Even the first buyer would be able to make that claim. Meaning, Reuven himself would be allowed to make this claim. If Reuven bought it from the Sikrikon, and he had it for 3 years, which is what the Brisa says, right? So after 3 years, so what's the halacha? Rashi brings down here, okay, this is a famous din from the Gemara Bava Basra, which is the basic yesod of the third parak of the Bava Basra, right? The Ches is Gimel Shanim, that after 3 years, so Rashi brings down the yesod, that after 3 years, a person is not careful with the shtar. If I bought a land from you, I have a shtar. It says that I bought the land. I hold on to my shtar for a couple of years, but at a certain point, I can't hold on to it forever. So after 3 years, I'm not responsible to have the shtar. So if Reuven says, listen, I bought it from the Sikrikon, I paid you off, I'm holding, and I got a shtar that said I paid you. Now it's been 3 years. That's it. So if that's the case, so then why did you talk about Shimon? Even Reuven would be Neman to tell the original owner, I paid you and that's it.
But it's a lie.
What do you mean it's a lie? Who said it didn't happen?
Where do we see that Reuven ever paid
We didn't discuss it. We don't know. We don't know. The Bryce is not telling us exactly what happened. The Bryce is telling us this is the case. We know that Reuven bought from a Sikrikon. And we know he's had it for 3 years.
We assume he paid the...
We don't assume anything, but the Reuven... Now the Shaila is, what taina is he making? If Reuven is making a taina that he paid it, we'll believe him. We don't know. The Bryce is not weighing in exactly the Maisa what happened. The Bryce is just saying that if he's making this taina, that taina is a good taina that would be believed. So why do you have to talk about Shimon? It's mavur from the Bryce that the only reason he's believed is because it's Shimon. Right? That's pasha from the Bryce. The fact that you sold the Shimon, now Shimon is believed. Mashal Reuven will not be believed. So it says the Gemara, if Shimon's making the taina that Reuven really paid you off like he was supposed to, so if that's true, there's no reason to talk about Shimon, by Reuven also would be believed. And if Shimon is not tining to the original owner of the field, and saying that he bought from you, so then afilu sheni nami lo. So then why is Shimon allowed to stay there? If Shimon is not making a claim, oh yeah, we really paid you, so he's basically saying, I have no right to be here. So the Gemara is asking me, if Shimon is making a taina, so we don't need Shimon, it could be by Reuven. And if Shimon is not making the taina, so then why is Shimon any better than Reuven? He's not making the taina. So you're basically admitting that the first owner, the owner of the field, the original owner of the field, is still entitled to this field. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, La'olam de lo katoin li. Really, in a chanami, Shimon is not making a claim. He does not know that, he's not saying that Reuven bought from him. However, what's the din? In such a situation, we make a taina on behalf of the yorish and on behalf of the lokiach, meaning either case. In other words, Reuven was the original one who bought the field with Sikriko, and he either sold it to Shimon, like we've been talking about up to now, or he bequeathed it to some of his children. In either case, the bottom line is that the person that now has it doesn't know about exactly what happened with Reuven. He just knows that he bought it from Reuven. So the Gemara says, in such a situation, we'll make a claim on his behalf. Because since he doesn't know any better, we're going to make the claim on his behalf. As opposed to the Idach, however, the other guy, meaning the Lokeach Rishon, Reuven himself, if he makes the Taina on his own, good. If he doesn't make the Taina, we're not going to make the Taina on his behalf, because why doesn't he know? He should know, right? He knows how to make the Taina. The guy who gets it from Reuven, either buys it or inherits it, he doesn't know what happened. So he can't make the taina. But Reuven, if he really bought it, he should know to make the taina. So maybe that's why it applies only to Shimon, not to Reuven. It's interesting, Diuk and Rashi, I was bothered by this, I saw they bring this down. Rashi says, in Divrei Masal, Tohanu L'Yorish V'Tohanu L'Lokech, HaLokech M'Sikrikon V'Horisha L'Vonov, V'Achlu Gimel Shonem. Rashi's mashma that the Gimel Shanim happens after Shimon has it. Reuven bought it, sold it to Shimon, and then the 3 years happened. That's not what the Brisa says. The Brisa says, va'achla shel Hashanim, and then he sells it. It's shy the way Rashi switches around the order here. Okay, I'll call upon him. That's the din of the Brisa. And the guy's had a hard time. I think it's not that hard. And are we okay here? Jordy, be good? Okay. Somebody who's coming because of a choiv, meaning, says Rashi, a goy who was owed money from a yid, he comes and he collects the field from this yid. Or machmas anporus, another guy is another goy who just comes and takes it. Stam gezel ba'alma, says Rashi. Right? But it's what's important is that even though the goy is stealing it from the Jew, he's a strong guy, but it's not. There's no chashash sakana here. There's no shaila that he was going to kill him. Stam, he was a bully and he took his field. Okay, it's very important because considering that situation, the Jew doesn't really intend to give it over to the goy. He's not saving his life. Just right now, he can't fight with this goy. So let the goy take it and then he'll go deal with it later. That's going to be the aside here of the brisa. So if it comes either from a choiv or from an pyrus, ain b'mishum sikrikun. There's no din of sikrikun. Okay, now this is a little bit confusing. based on the Akdama that we said, this was confusing when I did it. Remember we said today in the beginning that Ein Bo Din Sik Rikon, what the Gemara said on Daf Nun Hey, that means one extreme, that the person who buys it from the Sik Rikon owns it completely. So there's no Din Sik Rikon, meaning we don't do this whole thing where you have to give it back to the owner and then pay it. No, you own it completely because the original owner totally decided to give it over to you because he was saving his life. In the times of Yehuda, when there was the Mulchama, when the Jews were saving their lives, so they totally just gave it, like, please, just take my field and don't kill me. And they really intended to give it over. So that's what was going on in Haman base. Here, when it says Ein Bo Din Sik Rikon, it's the exact opposite extreme. Ein Bo Din Sik Rikon means we have no special heter, which we saw at the end of the Mishnah, that after 12 months, you can hold on to it and the guy can take it. No. Here, since there was no threat of life at all, no threat of losing his life, so then there's no way the owner planned on giving it over to this guy. Some guy who grabbed it, even if it was for a chov, some guy who grabbed it, he didn't want to give his field, he'll do that with a different way. And some bully who just took his field, he never intended to give it over. And therefore, no matter how long the Sikrikon had, not Sikrikon, excuse me, no matter how long this guy had it before he sold it to the other Jew, the original owner never gave up his, he never relinquished his rights, and he never had das to give it up. And therefore, Ein Bo Mishum Sik Rikon means, according to Rashi, it's other Rishonim Argon Rashi, but according to Rashi, it means that the person who buys it from this goy loses everything. He loses all his money, it goes back to the original owner. Here's the point to remember, that Ein Bo Din Sik Rikon has the two opposite meanings, depending if you're an Inheimed base or an Inchesimed base. Okay, either way, that's what the Brisa says. And then the Brisa says an enigmatic statement. Man poris atzma tzricha shetisha shneim asar chodesh. And on Purim itself, in order for the din to apply, you need to wait 12 months. Now, what does that sound like? So, the way Rashi explains it is that Biyad HaGachav means, in order for the din to be that the Lokeach can keep it, it needs to be by the Anporis guy, by the Goy, for 12 months. And if it's not there for 12 months, then the original owner can take it back from the Lokeach. So that's obviously a difficult statement, as the Gemara is about to ask. V'amris ein bo mishum sikrikum. What if you just told me that the Anporis has no din sikrikum, which means no matter how long you wait, if you buy it from an Anporis guy, you're never protected, and the original owner can always take it back. So why are you telling me that the din Anporis applies after 12 months? No, it doesn't. The din Anporis is that no matter how long it is, you never get to keep it. So the Gemara has to revise what's going on in the Brisa. The Brisa hachikom sikrikon atzmo tzricha shetish yud beis chodesh. So Bryce, the Gemara is saying like this. Avada, when it comes to Anporis, there's no Din Sik Rikon at all. No matter how long it is, you're going to lose it. Whoever buys from the Anporis loses the field. He does not have rights to the field. The Din of Sik Rikon itself, which we said in the Mishnah, in the later stages of the Din of the Sik Rikon, which is that we allow the buyer to keep it, that's only after 12 months. After 12 months, like we saw in the Mishnah, after 12 months, it's been hanging out by the Sik Rikon, and the original owner didn't claim it, then we allow someone else to buy the field, and all he has to do is to pay the amount that he saved, the discount he got to the original owner. Yeah, good? Okay. So it says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rabbi Yosef Naktinam, says Rabbi Yosef, we, Paskin, we have a Masoira, Ein Anporis Bebovo. There's no Anporis Bebovo, which seems to sound like you don't have bullies in Bovo that take people's land. So, frankly, Gemara, there are. We see that there are. Chazina Deika, there are. We see these bullies. Ella, they're there. Ella Ema, Ein Din Anporis Bebovo. It means there's no Din Anporis Bebovo. Meaning what? So, now let's clarify. What is Din Anporis? Din Anporis means that the Lokeach from the Anporis is never protected. He always loses the field. So if we're going to say there's no din anporis, that means the person who buys from the anporis gets to keep the field. So why is that true? Why is there no din anporis? Why is it that the person who buys from the anporis is allowed now to keep the field in Bavel? It says, "My time, okay, but the ika beidavar, since there is a beidavar there, who's a beidavar?" So if you look at the Lakutei Rashi, they bring here from Rashi and Shabbos, I'll be showing a little bit of a different definition, but let's go with Rashi. It's some type of ruler, some type of governor, the mayor, whatever it is, the shilton, some type of ruler of the city, that he's in charge IRS. Of dealing with all these things. What?
IRS.
It's not the IRS. Yeah. IRS gets taxes from you. This is the guy who you can complain to, who says, listen, this is my field. It's someone who's in charge of kicking people off the wrong field. So, and Rashi even says that you can send them letters, right? If you have a complaint, you send your complaint to this guy, and he deals with it. So therefore, says the Gemara, since there's a Beit Daver, velo ozel kavil, anybody know what that word means, kavil?
Complain.
Very good. Complain, okay? Not to be confused with kibel. Kavil is to complain. So since the guy didn't go and complain about it, ema chuliacha. Well, we're going to say that he was meicha. In other words, if your field was taken from you by a bully, yeah, and you have a clear address to go to complain about it, and you don't, so that must mean that you're really meicha. You're okay with it because if you wanted to get it back, you would have done that. Okay. Yeah, I just forgot to mention one thing back to the Gemara earlier. So we had this concept of taninan, right? That we're taina for. We spoke about it earlier. We're going to make a taina. The Gemara early in the Amud that from the when explaining the price of Shimon who buys from Ruvain, we make a taina on his behalf that lokech that the really Ruvain, the original lokech, gave the proper money to the owner of the field. So Rashi there points out that even if you hold normally that we're not taninan. Here we will make a taina, and that's because there's an umdin over here that the Ruvain would not have bought the field from Sikrikon if he's not going to protect himself. He's not going to buy the field and then lose it. So he knows that when he buys it from Sikrikon, you have to pay off the original owner. So there's a big tzad that's proving there's a stama here, an assumption that he did pay it off, and therefore we'll make a taninan, even though it's not so poshut that we'd always make a taninan. Okay, back to our Gemara. Gido bar Aviloi. Bar Re'iloi. You have Gidol, the son of Re'iloi. Kabil, it's funny because it's the exact same word, exactly under the word Kabil, and it means something else. Here it means he received, okay? Gidol Re'iloi, Kabil Arab B'taska B'bnei Baga. He got a field in the task, which means a tax, from the B'nei Baga. Okay, let's just explain the basic the background of the story. So basically, there was this collection of fields, this big property, let's call it. Okay, Rashi says it was in a valley. Okay, and this valley owed a certain amount of tax to the king. Okay, it was a big valley. It wasn't owned by one person, and people would share it. So let's say five different owners. It was a $5,000 tax for the year. Everybody pays $1,000. What happened? A guy leaves. So now when a guy leaves, the people that are left are going to still have to pay that $5,000. So they're interested in bringing another guy in. They want to bring someone else to take over that. He'll live in the field and he'll pay the $1,000. Okay, so that's what happened over here. Rabbi Eloi, Gidol Bar Re'iloi, is this replacement. So he was Makabal Aratas B'nei Baga. And instead of paying his share of $1,000 for the year, Akdim V'yoy V'zuzi D'tlashonin, he decided to pay up front for 3 years. He paid $3,000. And the government was good with that. They'll take money up front and then you can stay there for 3 years. Now, Lesof, after a year, the Marvasa Kamoy, the original owners come back, and unbelievably they say to Gidol, listen, Shata Kamaisa the Yavis, the first year which you paid for Achas, you ate very good. Hash, in other words, you enjoyed the field, and you paid for it. Hashta, but now that we're here after the first year, Anan Yavinan, we're going to start paying the tax, and Anan Achlina, we're going to eat. And Rashi adds in, the way it works is like this. The ruler, he takes money up front, but he also will only honor that money up front if it's coming from the person who's going to be there for the next 3 years. If you switch owners, if a new guy comes in, a new mentor comes in, he's going to have to pay again. So these original owners that are coming back after the first year, they're interested in paying for what they're going to pay for their fair share. But they don't want to have to now reimburse Gidol. In other words, Gidol's money just went to waste. Just extra money paid to the ruler, to the king, whatever it was. Okay, so that was the shaila.
The tax people don't want to pay him back?
People are going to keep the money. If Gidol would stay there for 3 years, they'd let him stay for 3 years. But now that a new person came in, they're going to keep Gidol's money for the extra 2 years that nobody enjoyed. And they're also they're going to collect a second time now.
Why did Gidol just stay there for another
year? Because they got owners back. Listen, I went out for a year. I'm back. They're the original owners. Uh-huh. Gidol was just a replacement guy. That's not his time. He knows that he can't stay there because it's not his field. But he wants to be reimbursed. So the Gemara says,
"What's Marvosa?"
Marvosa is owner. Marvosa Kamai is the original owner.
He wants to be reimbursed like a tax guy.
No, he must be reimbursed by the tax guy, not giving money back. He must be reimbursed by the field people.
He understands. Okay.
So Amrulay, so they said that, again, right? They said, you get out. So also, so now Gidla obviously wasn't happy with that. He wanted to get money from them. So also, Kamadir Papa, Sarva le Michtav le Tirfa Bnei Baga. So Papa said, listen, I'm going to write a mishtar that he can collect from the Bnei Baga. Now it's interesting, Rashi and other Rishonim Taka learned that Bnei Baga means from all of the owners of the fields here in the valley. Tosas learned that it's Lavdafka. Tosas says, what do they have to do with it? The other people, they have nothing to do with it. It's only the owner, it's only that guy that he was replacing. That might be your question of Ravim and Yochid. Okay, but it's only that guy that he was replacing. So therefore, it's the Marvosa Kamoy. It's the original owner, not the Bnei Baga in general. Okay, others might be an interesting sadistic machlek. It's a rational taste. We'll keep it pshuta right now. This is the kiyashir, and it's running out of time. What?
Tirfa is
shtar. Tirfa is the ability to collect, to be tirf, to grab. So I'm going to give. He says, I want to give him a shtar that will allow him to collect from the original owners, who will reimburse him for the 2 years. So I'm later when I raise Yeshua, later Papa in Canaan, I'll see the secret. And he says, if that's true, then you turn this whole situation into a secret code. Right? The din of secret code, which again means the later takan of the secret code, is that the guy who buys from the secret code, he's going to be taken care of. Right? He only has to pay a revia to the original bialim. And if the original bialim want to pay, so they'll reimburse him. Right? We said at the later takan is the Bezna Shalachareim, again, in the later takanas of the Mishnah, the person who buys a secretum is protected. That's only by a secretum. In this case, that doesn't apply. That doesn't apply in every situation. Only by a special than by a secretum. So, and you have the right to do that. In other words, this guy Gidol decided to pay money, and okay, he paid extra money. We're not going to help him out. So, Elo Amar Vuna Redu Shua, he niach mosal keren natsvi. This is a famous phrase in Chazal that basically literally means that he left his money on the horn of a tzvi. In other words, he just was mafkir his money. He decided to throw away his money. Nobody asked him to pay up front for 3 years. Now he got himself into a pickle. It's no one else's problem. He just threw away his money. Okay, let's finish up the Gemara. Zakti Marzu Mishnah Rishayna. We saw in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah Rishayna. Bezna Shalacharei and Amra Lokeach Min HaSikriko Nosan LeBayim Revia. He said the later Takana was that if you buy from the Sikriko, all you have to do is pay the Revia. Right? And the original Takana was you lose it completely. You lose everything. The later Takana is that no, you get to keep the field. You only have to pay a quarter to the original, which means the amount of money that you saved by getting the discounted price again from the secret. So Amar Rav, Revia Bekarka, or Revia Bemos. Okay, it's a machlokes here in the Rishonim, as a Rashi, and a Tosfos, and Aruch. I'm going to say Kupshuta Lefi Rashi, which explains it more that way. So Rav learns like this. Revia means you pay a quarter of what you paid. Now that quarter of what you paid, is you're going to pay it either Bekarka, or you're going to pay that quarter Bemos. So very simple. If you paid $100, Rav is saying this, if you paid $100 to the Sikriko, the field was worth more than $100, but you paid $100, you're now going to have to pay the original owner a quarter of that $100, $25. You want to pay the $25 in cash, Bavakasha, you want to pay it in the amount of land worth $25, that's also okay. That's how Rav learns. Shmuel Amar Revia Bikarka Shein Shlish V'mos. Shmuel says, no. You're paying a quarter of the value of the field, which turns out to be a third of what you paid. Okay, so again, according to Rav, you're paying the original owner a quarter of what you paid, period. You can decide to pay that quarter either with money or with karf. According to Shmuel, you're paying a quarter of the value, the market value of the field, which ends up being a third of what you paid. Okay, now we'll explain the math. It's very easy. We're going to explain it more in a second. Okay, the Gemara, let's do the Gemara speaks that, and it'll be clear. But Michael, what are they arguing about? Mar sabr nechi revia zavin, umar sabr nechi chumsha zavin. Gemara says very simple. One, which happens to be the second one, which is Shmuel holds, that you got a discounted price, you got a quarter off, you only paid three quarters. And according to Rav, you got a fifth off. So now to the matter is very easy. So if Rav is talking about a case, you paid $100. According to Rav, you paid $100. You got off a fifth. So what was the real value of the field? $125. You paid $100 for a field with $125. So you saved $25. So now when you're paying the original owner, you're paying $25, which is the amount that you saved, which is a quarter of what you paid. You paid $100. A quarter of that is $25. That happens to be that your discounted price was a fifth because the field is worth $125. you got a discounted price of one-fifth off, so you got it for $100. So now you pay $25. So that's why Rav says you pay a quarter of what you paid. Shmuel says no. Shmuel says you got a discounted price of a quarter. You got more than a fifth. You got a quarter off. Okay, so the numbers, I'll just give you these numbers. I think it's easier to say. Like this, you paid $75 instead of $100. Okay, so according to Shmuel, that's what happened. You paid $75. So according to Shmuel, you're going to pay now a quarter of the value of the field, because what was the field worth? $100. So you're going to pay a quarter of the value of the field, which is a third of what you paid, because you paid $75. So a third of $75 is $25. It's not hard math. Okay? To me, those numbers are easy. If you want to have other numbers, are easier for you. That's okay. But kids, so that's Rashi uses it. To me, it's a little more confusing, the math and Rashi. But that's the case. Says the Gemara like this. Basically, we have a kasha on Shmuel. Zu mishri shayna, like we saw the mission. The original takana was one way, but beza shalachare and amar lo kechman sikrigonos in the bialim revia. The yad bialim aliyon. He could, so the later takana was that someone who buys them sikrigon has to give the original owner a quarter, but it's the yad bialim aliyona. The upper hand goes to the original owner, meaning what? Ratzu bikarka notin, ratzu b'mos notin. If they want, they can take that quarter in the form of karka, or they can take it in the form of cash. That's only when the original owner doesn't have enough money to buy the whole field back. But if they have enough money, they get to do the whole thing. Rabbi Yosha Bezin, like was on a mission also, v'nimnu shim shas b'nei zekrigon, shem asar chodesh, kol ha-kodin likach zocha. Avonosim lebaim revia bekarka or revia bemos. Okay, so what's in the lashon of the brisa? So Rashi points out that the Gemara's lashon, the brisa lashon, is o revia bemos. So it says lehedya that you're paying revia bemos. You're paying revia bekarka or revia bemos. That's exactly like whom, like Rav, not like Shmuel. According to Shmuel, you're not paying a quarter of the money that you paid. You're paying a quarter of the value of the field, which is a third of the money which you paid. Again, in the case we gave before, the field was worth $100. You got it for $75. So you're paying a quarter of the value of the field. You have to pay that $25 which you saved, which is a quarter of the value of the field, which happens to be a third of the amount which you paid, because you paid $75. So why is the Braisa saying, according to Shmuel, why is the Braisa saying, Revia Bekarka, Revia Bemos? Amar Ravashi, Kitan Ya'i, La'achar Shabo, Mos Liyodo. So the Gemara answer is no. Shmuel will say, what it means a quarter, it means after you paid the bailim, the $25, it turns out that it will be a quarter of all of the money that was paid. In other words, you paid $75 to the sikrikon. Then you paid another $25 to the bailim, which is the amount that you saved. So altogether, the $25 that you paid the sikrikon is a quarter of the of all the money that you paid. It's another way of saying it. So it's the same difference, right?
Full value.
It's the right. In other words, exactly the full of everything you paid. It turns out there was a quarter. So it's really like Shmuel saying it's really a third of what you paid the sikrikon. But of all the money that you paid, the sikrikon's money, 75 plus the 25 that you paid to this bialim, will turn out that what you paid to the bialim is 25 of all of the full cost. But yeah.